Tomorrow, voters in Detroit head to the polls to decide who'll be their next mayor. But some wonder aloud, who would want the job? The winner will inherit a multi-million dollar budget deficit and a rapidly dwindling population. Detroit Public Radio's Quinn Kleinfelter reports.
Good evening. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Wayne State University, host of the second 2005 Detroit mayoral debate.
A few weeks ago, Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick and challenger Freeman Hendrick stepped onto a stage grappling with the same issues in strikingly different ways. First-term incumbent Kilpatrick, the broad-shouldered, always expensively attired former state lawmaker, said Detroit's dwindling tax base, deteriorating public schools, and a river of red budgetary ink had forced him to make cutbacks in police, fire, and other city services. But Hendrick said the cutbacks were a direct result of what he called Kilpatrick's mismanagement.
You cannot ask workers to give up pay cuts, to give up concessions, to give up benefits and so forth if you are partying with the taxpayers' money.
Hendrick, a city official in a previous administration, was referring to lurid headlines over the past few years, linking Kilpatrick to an alleged wild stripper party at his official residence. Hendricks also reminded the audience of the city-paid credit card used to fund extravagant trips for the mayor and his entourage. He said the mayor's mismanagement and high living had only deepened Detroit's fiscal crisis. Mayor Kilpatrick rejected the charges and made a few of his own. He said he had to modernize many city departments that were ignored by the previous administration, in which Hendricks served as deputy mayor.
You can all of this conversation about what I'm going to do, 7 years in the chair. And not one single system was better after 7 years of Mr. Hendricks running it.
Indeed, Hendricks, a graying 50-something buttoned-down politician, has his own critics. A full-page newspaper advertisement in the Michigan Chronicle called him a puppet of suburban raiders, an allusion to white corporate executives allegedly intent on profiting off of Detroit's poor and overwhelmingly black population. Hendricks says he's countered that perception by spending the past 2 years among the city's grassroots, attending coffee brunches, ice cream socials, and riding aboard Detroit's aging buses.
We got seats in the back, but if you come back here, you got to listen to me.
On the Woodward Avenue bus line, riders are surprised to run into the man they see regularly in campaign advertisements. Writer Dwayne Copeland says he never thought someone like Hendricks would care about average folks like him, until now.
Well, actually, I was undecided, but from speaking to Mr. Hendricks today on this very bus, I think that he just won a vote.
Across the aisle, Betty Womack nods in agreement. Women like Womack, age 60 and older, put Kilpatrick over the top in his last bid for office, making him, at age 30, the youngest man ever elected mayor of Detroit. But after Kilpatrick's series of well-publicized gaffes, Womack says she's changed her opinion of him.
He's just not ready to be a mayor. Now he wants to be with all his heart, but poor thing, he just can't. He's just not ready. Not doing things right.
Other riders scan the crowded coach, wondering if they'll spot Kilpatrick. But the mayor isn't on board this day. He's standing at a gate outside a Chrysler auto plant during a shift change. Kilpatrick balances a cell phone to his ear with one hand. With the other, he signs autographs for a group of auto workers. Kilpatrick's smooth approach and youthful energy appeals to Malicia Robinson, who calls it a stark contrast to Hendrick's more formal style.
Well, he speaks so well. He seems so educated, you know. Everybody else that we've been coming across, they can't even answer the questions on a drop of a dime.
Nearby, auto worker Melvin McGee Jr. says he isn't concerned about all the negative media stories about Kilpatrick. McGee says he's more concerned with the condition of his own home in an impoverished area on Detroit's west side. He says the area was dilapidated during Hendrick's stint as deputy mayor and picked up only after Kilpatrick came to office.
The city is cleaner over there. You know, we actually have a little bit more police patrol in our area, so we're not. I feel that he's the person for the job at this point.
Whoever wins the job will have to deal with a $300 million budget deficit and a city where fewer and fewer services exist for residents. Most polls over the summer showed Kilpatrick trailing Hendricks by double digits, but the race has tightened in recent weeks, with the city's financial future hanging in the balance. For NPR News, I'm Quinn Kleinfelter in Detroit.